Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
So what happens every weekend since about 2001? Well, it's called The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production. Andrea Learned's going to be with us today, founder of Learned on Women and also the author of a book, and we will tell you more about that as we mosey along here and tell you more about Andrea as well. But let's see, who else do we have? Coming up shortly, it's very shortly, Jean Bliss, our customer experience, and silos, basically, is what she's talking about. The customer Bermuda Triangle. It's where your customers, you don't want them to go. A little bit later on, Shamin Abbas, activist for excellence, will be with us here, too. A brand new feature there. What PR can't do. Okay, so it'll be fun to check that out. What do you have there?
By the way, speaking of what PR can't do, our guest today, Andrea Learned, formerly in the PR business, as I look at her brief bio here on the back of her book, Don't Think Pink, she was in the New York Times recently, quoted in the New York Times. So you would think, you know, today's author would be, you know, she's got some PR background. Of course, she's going to weasel her way into a story, and especially with a publication like the New York Times. What do you think? We just, you know, let anybody on this show? Anyway, Ray,
I don't think so. Go ahead.
What I was going to mention, we all heard about the trouble Imus got into, and fortunately for Don, it went away pretty quick, but I couldn't believe it. But anyway, either programming on TV and radio is becoming less objectionable, or people no longer care enough to complain to the FCC. I found these numbers interesting, Ray. The number of programming indecency and obscenity complaints fell to 368 in the third quarter of 2007, a huge decline from the over... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
4,000 such complaints during the second quarter of 2007. And that was, and that number was already down big time from 149,000 complaints during the first quarter of 2007. Why the dramatic decline? Nobody really knows. The FCC's power to, regulate indecency is in limbo currently, due to two court cases, one in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia regarding nudity, which I think they're calling you as their first witness, Ray. And the other is the Supreme Court pending decision regarding the use of dirty words, which they're going to invite me to testify on that case.
You and George Carlin, if he was with us here. But
George Lois, are you kidding?
Or George, George Bob, another name. But that's a whole different story. God, we love George Lois. What a guy. How very interesting. You know, as far as IMUS goes.
That's a big difference, isn't it, on the numbers? Yeah. I mean, gosh.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as IMUS goes, he's kind of under a microscope now. I mean, the man can't. I mean, I feel really bad for him. It's like, oh, come on. Enough
and then just the reason that he needs to walk a fine line. I mean, he doesn't even need to go anywhere near that kind of commentary. As you say, you know, if you know it and I know it, you know, Imus should know it. He's under a microscope, and he needs to not even go near that kind of comment. So I don't know.
Well, he's got to be really uncomfortable with that restraints with being that way. Mm-hmm. And it would not be surprise me if you said one day, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm going to go to the ranch, and we're going to help kids instead of dealing with a whole bunch of issues that may or may not be right or wrong because I said something, I held my mouth funny or something. So, you know, Imus is good, and I like what he does, and I like the fact that he's able to speak his mind, but unfortunately it doesn't look like that happens much in these second phase of Imus.
It is his shtick, but and it's kind of, it prevents him from being who he is. But on the other hand, at this point, Ray, obviously Don's not doing it for the money. It's more for, you know, it's his career, it's ego, it's for whatever. Yeah. But he could go to the ranch. We'd love to be his ranch hands. we wouldn't charge him that much, would we?
No, I don't think so. It's a great cause, too. He does a lot of good things, and when all of the stuff comes out bad about him, as somebody needs to recognize all of the good things that he's done with his notoriety. And I use that in a positive sense because he has done a lot of good things for kids and such. So we still support you, Don. You're a good guy. We've got Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here. It's the Advertising Show, and in just a moment, why don't we do this? Let's invite Gene Bliss to come in for a few moments here and talk to us.
Welcome to the Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
It's about the silos. This is one of the major sticking points to making traction. It's not the fact that the silos exist that's the problem. It's their lack of coordination and conflicting metrics in delivering your customer's defaulted experience. The challenge of this customer work is that it cuts across your entire organization. It's like swimming upstream. I call it being the salmon. These critical team projects suffer because the work is not on anybody's collective scorecard. And that just doesn't work. CEOs need to be a major player in identifying the new skill of working together, finding someone or being actively involved in bringing the pieces together to work on common efforts, and reinforcing through accountability and metrics that these are the new necessary behaviors to get rid of your customer Bermuda Triangle for your customers.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
This is the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let me tell you a little bit more about Andrea Learned, founder of Learned on Women, and our special guest today. Andrea is widely respected thought leader on marketing to women and marketplace gender trends. She is the co-author of Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy, and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market, which Soundview Executive Summaries identified as one of the best marketing books of all time. For over 7 years, she studied, worked, and written about how women buy and how gender affects marketing approaches. Known for her independent and progressive take on this topic, she is currently focused on how to make marketing to women obsolete, in that by serving perhaps typically feminine brand traits, brands will actually serve the now more holistic buying minds of all their customers. She is a graduate of the University of Michigan, in Burlington, Vermont. Incredible places. She actually had the opportunity to grow up, or at least live a little bit, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is a really cool city, probably right up there with Austin, Texas, and such, and Berkeley. And, yeah. But she is now in Burlington, Vermont. And we'll learn more about the book and also find out more about what Andrea is all about. You know, Brad, you were talking about the FCC before, as it relates to obscenity and things like that. Now, basically, the FCC will vote to study whether TV shows should carry more conspicuous notices informing viewers when advertisers paid to have food, automobiles, and other products prominently displayed during programs. So, FCC is involved in that. And I don't quite get that, but they're there. So that's the way it goes. So, interesting, huh?
Very interesting. And when you go ahead.
We do need to wrap up. I want to take a break here, but when we come back, we've got Andrea with us here. Andrea Learned on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we hope you stick around.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba-dabba-doo. Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. And as promised, our very special guest out of Burlington, Vermont, the author of Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy, and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market, Andrea Learned, learnedwomen.com. And all I know is that, Andrea, your reputation is that you are a learned woman. Is that right?
I am a learned woman.
Well, very good. It's good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Andrea, congratulations on the recent New York Times article mentioning you and your company and quoting you. And what I took away from the article, which really surprised me, frankly, was and for our listeners that may not be familiar with the essence of the article was simply a company was seeking both female consumers as well as consultants and getting their input and advice for the development of shopping centers and how to use these how to use this input to develop and design shopping centers. And it just, I don't know, in 2008, developers who spend millions of dollars to develop shopping centers are just now figuring out they need to seek female input and advice to
really?
This kind of thing. I mean, I've been in a mall or two, and last time I checked, other than the late year holidays, Christmas shopping, et cetera, they're pretty much filled with women and strollers. So in 2008, they're just now deciding they need to seek female input, and this makes the New York Times.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's still, this sort of still makes news. But when you think about traditionally male-dominated industries, all sorts of industries, the building industry is one that really is sort of stuck in its ways. And it really started with construction and building and let's build a big, tall building and an imposing surface and isn't that great. And it's just been really hard for that industry to kind of funnel down and keep touch with the end consumer. And so, obviously, they've been doing a pretty decent job without really even understanding women, since women have been the primary shoppers this whole time. But within the last couple of years, developers have really started to talk more to women, and that is where the developments like the one mentioned in the New York Times article and some other ones across the country are really starting to get it and be much more relevant, more of an experience, a full experience for women to be there and to bring their kids and to enjoy their time other than shopping. So it's kind of odd that it still needed to be, that it was worth reporting on, but it actually is kind of a trend that developers are starting to talk to and actually listen and incorporate women's suggestions into their marketing.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a lot about the differences of women as consumers have to men, of course, and certainly Don't Think Pink by published on Amacom. Great book. Highly encourage all of our listeners to check it out. But before we get into that, how long do you think marketers have really been involved or understood, I should say, the differences between male consumers and female consumers?
It's been a larger topic probably for the last 6 or 7 years. You could see examples of brands or companies at least trying to market to women. If you think back to the 80s, the first bank branches that said, hey, we need to market more effectively to women. Let's paint the office walls mauve, pink and mauves and purples. That was basically their pink approach. So it's been a topic, and back in the 80s and early 90s, brands would try it and just do a little initiative, stick their toe in the water, and then, big surprise, that doesn't work because women really needed commitments. And so it's only within the last, 7 or 8 years that a lot more brands have started to make that commitment.
Give us a sense of the consumer market for women in terms of numbers, market potential, if you could, please, Andrea.
Well, the number is that women make or influence 80% of consumer purchases. So I think you need to really dial into that or influence, because they certainly make a lot of the purchases, but if you step back and think about how many of the other purchases they're influencing, even if maybe their credit card with their name wasn't used or they didn't sign on the dotted line. Think about home buying, car buying, boat buying. Lots of times they're buying them now, but over the years, maybe the signature has been their husband's or the male. And the fact is that women are influencing probably 99% of the purchases. Don't quote me on that, but the number is that women make or influence 80% of consumer.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and then that's obviously not only their own purchases for themselves and their children, but also in many cases for their husbands. And I think that's an overlooked and valuable piece of advice. How are brands today not keeping up with the market savvy and higher expectations of female consumers? You touched upon, tokenism and my view in terms of how they attempted to do something a little different with their advertising and marketing years ago. But today, it just astounds me that any company would not have an understanding of this market segment, how you can't really talk generally to both male and female and expect to engage and connect with both markets effectively.
Yeah, I think the other thing that continues to happen is that the brands will think, okay, we're going to start marketing to women now, and they'll just think women, half the population, here we go. Once again, kind of just grouping them all in one big homogenous, group gathering. And the fact is that it's your very unique women's market that you're serving. So you can't just, for one, assume that pink is going to work. Sure, a pink cell phone for a teenage girl market right now is hot, and that's great. But you cannot just assume that pink cell phones are going to work for everybody. You just can't assume that even all moms everywhere are going to respond to this or that in an ad campaign. So it's this really generalization and not digging in more to who your very particular female customers are. That is a problem.
We've got about a minute and a half left here. Social networking and some social media certainly are a big topic nowadays. How would you recommend a company connect with the female market today and using social networking and new media?
Yeah, I think, once again, it starts with them really understanding how their very particular women's market is using that. So, for example, in general, with a very popular segment of the moms population, a lot of them are blogging. And so sort of looking at how you can be connecting with moms via blogs is a really wise move. But blogs may not be the best way to connect with younger women or, older women. So you really have to, and I keep using these, generations, but it's really what people are looking for online, so it's more roles. So moms are going to be maybe blogging more. Businesswomen, the best way to connect with them might be through Facebook and LinkedIn now at this point. So the social networking kind of methods that you use are going to be really unique, once again, to the very specific women that you're targeting, and you need to ask them what they're doing and how you can best sort of filter into their lives.
On the Advertising Show with Rachel Lins and Brad Forsyth, the book is called Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy and How to Increase Your Share in This Crucial Market. LearnedWomen.com is the website. We'll be back with more with Rachel Lins and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. A very special guest, Andrea Lerner. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for four.
Yes, this is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and Andrea Learned, our special guest. A correction on the website. It's learnedonwomen.com, okay? Learnedonwomen.com. The book we're talking about today, amongst other things, is called Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market. So, Andrea, it's so nice to have you here. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here. Lots of fun.
Yeah, you know, you touched on last segment a little bit about, in effect, market segmentation when it comes to women consumers. You mentioned business women and moms, of course. Can you take us through how one might segment the overall female marketplace?
Yeah, I think that my main suggestion would be not to just assume that you're going to hit your target is going to be, say, 25 to 35-year-old women. The fact is that to be relevant to women today, you really have to tap into the roles and the life stages. And their role may be mom, and there could be, you know, any age mom from, you know, 18 up to 45 at this point. You know, moms, their common ground is the fact that they're moms. And so it's going to be more roles and life stages. And I think business women, that's a whole, their mindset is in a certain place, and business women could be any age range. So it's interesting. I think a lot of times marketers think the first thing out of their head is, okay, we have to look at their generation and what's really specific to their generation, when really the first step might actually be roles or life stages.
You know, that's such a good point. So for example, something that all consumers need, a car, for example, I guess you would look at appealing to one particular market segment for a sporty Porsche, whatever, versus a family van kind of product, and you would certainly design the message, even though you might be targeting women differently for one market segment than another. And that's, I think, a very good point. Let's talk a little bit about, I think that when it comes to engaging with women, some people have often said that men tend to go online much more often than women just in general. But yet when it comes to making purchases today, spending their money, how do women stack up with regard to buying online versus in the retail store?
Well, women, I think the statistics are that women are at least 50%, maybe more at this point. And I think the idea is that women are going online to do a lot of front-end research. If you look at just who's going in and making direct purchases immediately, those numbers could be one thing. But women are online doing research, connecting with their friends. There's a lot of sort of front-end conversation and research that goes on before they make the purchase. So I think when you consider women online, you have to consider really that whole experience and what they're doing, and are they online lingering, are they talking, are they doing research, as opposed to men who might tend to go online and think they're going to make a purchase and just go more directly to, you know, making the actual, doing the transaction. So I think that's something to consider.
And having said that, I guess we're now back to the importance of social media and how companies should have some kind of social tool that they're using out there when women are doing this research, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it all starts with way back in the day. It's always been true that women respond to testimonials. I mean, women are looking for common ground. They're looking for a shared story. So if there's a testimonial way back when in some marketing brochure for some brand, say, a woman saw that a 51-year-old woman from her neighborhood said she liked this brand, there's a connection there. And so it's the same now, except richer online, because there's so much potential for, you know, Home Depot has used actual stories of people that shop at Home Depot. The storytelling aspect and the ability for consumers to go in and contribute and share and hear and read and watch videos of other customers really helps them find common ground around that brand and to feel like they're connecting with one another around it. And so that's a huge, you know, very effective tool, a way to use social media right now.
Give us some examples, Andrea, if you would, of companies who are doing a great job of communicating, marketing, and moving women to buy today.
Well, one of my favorite examples tends to be one that you wouldn't really think, oh, yeah, that's a company that's marketing to women, and that is American Express. And the reason that I like to cite American Express is, again, they've got a pretty current campaign of celebrities, and I think you guys have probably seen it in the magazines, and it's sort of just a questionnaire that the celebrity filled out.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You know, it's very much, one, you're connecting with that celebrity as if they were a real person, you know, and then you're going, oh, wow, I mean, I have an Australian Shepherd dog, and I think there was one ad for American Express where Ellen DeGeneres is sitting in a kitchen with this dog that looks a lot like mine, and I thought, oh, how cool, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, mm-hmm. Amex, I should. So I think Amex figured out how how what women are looking for, the common ground angle, sort of the simplicity of the ad campaigns. It's not that they're running around with a lot of fanfare saying, look at us, we're marketing to women and we have an Amex card for women. They just really did a lot of research, understood that women were using the credit cards, women might may well have been making household decisions for the credit cards, and I bet they did a ton of research with women because of their campaigns really reflect relevance to today's women.
And on the other side, too, they did a dramatic effort marketing to men in that regard, too, as well. I mean, you've got the bios on famous directors. Tiger Woods had one, as far as that goes, as well. So that makes a lot of sense, too. Andrea Learned is our special guest. Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy, and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market. LearnedOnWomen.com is the website, and we'll be back with more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
There's nothing like the face of a kid eating a Hershey bar.
And one final segment here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe to find out more about the book called Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market. Andrea Learned is our special guest. Andrea, great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And you mentioned Amex last segment, and certainly when you talk about Ellen, I think a lot of people have forgotten she started her career as a comedian. And let's talk a little bit about humor for a moment. I know we've all seen the TV campaign that Ellen, I think, puts a little humor into in a subtle way. But when it comes to marketing to women, Andrea, a lot of people, when they think of humor, it's all about, you know, male bashing or whatever. In many cases, I don't know if it's all about that. But you suggest that, you know, humor can be used effectively in marketing to women. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think that, I mean, the Ellen commercial, the one where there are all the animals in her studio, that one, that is very effective because they already, I mean, obviously her humor is already known to be really good connecting with women, but it also doesn't offend men. I think that the subtleties of humor are there. Really, you do occasionally see these male bashing. I think there was like a sandwich ad once where the woman is kind of rolling her eyes when her husband's sort of drooling for a sandwich or something, and that, you know, that doesn't work for women or men. And it's interesting that that sort of makes it, you know, off the, you know, the pages and really into a TV ad.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, because I think that there are assumptions that, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, all the people on the ad team, their wives back at home are bashing them, so they just think that's the way it is, and women respond to that. That's just not true. And so I think there are subtleties of humor, as everyone knows, but if you get it right, women are just so psyched that you took the, you know, made the effort to figure out what that, you know, exact kind of connection of humor was going to be, that they really will respond. So I think it might be a little bit more difficult to get there. But once again, if you go and really interact and connect with women and get their feedback all along the process, you're going to have a really good idea what kind of humor is going to work for them. And if you get it right, it probably won't alienate men.
Yeah, and not only that, but as you say, you hit a home run with the with your audience because you're connecting on a level that is not often used. Your book discusses what influences a woman's mind, if you will, when she's making a purchasing decision. Can you give us a quick review of some of these?
Well, one of the things is that she's thinking really about all of her constituents. That could be her kids. It could be, you know, the elder people. Maybe she's got some older parents that she's taking care of. I think other things that influence her mind include what she's hearing her friends say. You know, maybe she's at a yoga class and on the next mat over, somebody's speaking really passionately about some brand that they bought and how excited they are. I think a woman's mind is really taking it all in. The word I think that we use in the book is holistic. You're taking in elements from what you hear people say, things that you notice, you know, maybe a celebrity has in a magazine, the consumer reports or things that you've read online, those comparison sites. There are so many things that are going on, and women can take those all in and kind of synthesize those to make a decision. And if you look at the brain science, it tends to show that men tend to think more linearly and sort of more compartmentalized. And so they might go more directly to a purchase, not let a lot of outside things influence their purchase and just get it done. Whereas women take a lot more time on the larger purchases because they're synthesizing all of these sort of random pieces of information, but they're going to make the best decision because they've put in so much time.
How true is that? Seen that happen a few times, haven't we, Brad? On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Andrea, we are out of time, unfortunately. We wish you the best with your continued success on learnitonwomen.com and, of course, with sales of your book, Don't Think Pink, What Really Makes Women Buy and How to Increase Your Share of This Crucial Market. It's been a pleasure having you here, and we hope you had a good time.
Thank you so much.
It's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show, and we will be back with more in just a moment.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way, the open ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better because he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours.
Many thanks to our now friend, brand new friend, Andrea Learned, author of Don't Think Pink. Kind of a long title of the book, but a great read as well. So we invite you to go get that. Next week, we've got Derek Handley. Derek is CEO of a company called Hyperfactory. And we'll find out what that's all about when we bring Derek on next week here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Being powered by Shipple.com, it's Tendency, a platform that's a killer marketing platform. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com for Ed Shipple and his crew here in the Houston market. You know, Starbucks, we're big fans of Starbucks, and a lot of people are getting in on the action. I've actually had some of the McDonald's coffee, the iced coffees and such. They're actually pretty good.
How was it?
Quite delicious. I enjoyed that. But what's happening, Starbucks is closing 600 stores in the United States. They're closing them in the next year, and they're cutting back on the number of new stores they had planned to open. It seemed to me that they had a rather aggressive stance in terms of growth, and I'm really surprised that it took this long to figure out. The company expects charges or changes between $328 million and $348 million related to the closures, including a charge of $200 million in the third quarter. 70% of the stores slated to be closed had opened since the start of the 2006 fiscal year. Total includes 100 previously announced store closures as well. So kind of scaling back a little bit, Brad, but they're not going away, and that's a good thing. No, we like Starbucks.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, as long as they don't close your and my location, we're okay with it, aren't we?
I think that's just fine. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, the Hyperfactor, just if you're interested, is the world's most awarded, as they like to say, full-service mobile ideas, MIA, and execution company.
Really? Thank you
for
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's okay. They're a great company, international headquarters in Auckland, New Zealand. You'll be calling in from, I assume, but not necessarily to assume that for sure. They also are in New York as well as L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Hyderabad.
Sounds like a conductor on a train. Next up, Shamin Abbas, activist for excellence here. What PR can't do, we'll find out.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
What PR cannot do. Public relations is a great way for businesses, large and small, to garner media attention that can translate into sales. Public relations can build a persona, create a reputation, and find ways to engage the consumer of your product or service. But there are some things PR cannot do. Public relations cannot replace effective marketing and advertising. No matter how many great stories a publicist gets you, if you don't have compelling marketing materials, packaging, or advertising, you may in fact be squandering those efforts. PR is a great way to secure the kind of public appearance that bolsters advertising. Consumers give great credence to what they read or hear in the media because it's assumed that editorial coverage is unbiased. An ad can be beautiful, compelling, and informative, but it's always an ad, and the consumer knows that. But PR cannot replace advertising either, because ads give you 100% control of your message and your image. PR cannot make your company, service, or product into something it's not. Managing expectations is important, because even the most brilliant publicist cannot make, to borrow an American phrase, a silk purse out of a sow's ear. A publicist can help you make the absolute best of what you've got and who you are, but he or she cannot change your basic essence. PR cannot make people behave the way you want them to, but PR can guide people to try things. Good publicity can bring diners into your restaurant, but the food had better meet the hype. PR can start and maintain the momentum. You have to keep the proverbial ball rolling by meeting customer expectations. PR cannot make something out of nothing. There has to be some reason, unique feature, quality, service, or other compelling aspect that is worthy of attention. Good publicists can help you find those little gems, but we cannot manufacture it. This comes back to managing expectations. If you believe in what you do and what you sell, a PR firm can help translate your passion into something that will be interesting to someone out there.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
This is indeed the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Looking forward to Derek Handley, CEO of Hyperfactory, coming up next week on the Advertising Show. Tell a friend about what you're listening to. Some of the guests, well, you wouldn't believe all the guests we've had on since 2001. And they're all archived there at theadvertisingshow.com. You can pick an interview and take a listen to it. Maybe something specific you were looking for, maybe an answer or an opinion from an industry leader. They're here at theadvertisingshow.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And the brandweek.com, they had a thing here. It says, is talk cheap? They want to know how cheap is talk? What is a consumer's 2 cents worth to a marketer? And the answer to that question is 50 cents. No, 50 cents.
Oh.
50 cents. Buzz Agent, a Boston-based word-of-mouth marketing agency, has fixed that amount to a conversation by one of its 425,000 agents on behalf of a brand. A 50 cents cost per conversation is the norm, according to Dave Balder, the president at Buzz Agent. So, 50 cents.
How long?
Word-of-mouth, I'll have to find out.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly, Ray, check out mygallons.com. It's a new site that will allow consumers to lock in the current price for a gallon of gas, even if it goes up. The site went live recently after several months of testing, and here's how it works real quickly. Drivers purchase gas based on their zip code and the current price determined by established providers. Those gallons are then loaded onto debit card, and the driver can use at most major filling stations, yes, that particular debit card, according to the site, and the card, which is received in the mail, carries an annual fee of $29.95. But no matter how high the price of the gas goes, you get it at the pre-purchase price. If it goes down, you get it at the higher price. MyGallons.com. Sound like a commercial, but it's not. It's a great idea.
Yeah. That's what Southwest did as well. Locked in those gas prices, too.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Smart idea. Yeah. I'll fill her up with that. The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.